Hello, everyone. Welcome to She Runs Trails podcast. I am your host, Elements of Daisy. Just want to say thank you so much, guys, for supporting the podcast. If you are listening to the podcast later on, it would really mean a lot to me if you could just take the time to review and leave a rating for the podcast, whichever platform you listen to. It would really just help the podcast. Today we have Sophie, also known as Super Sophie 86 on Instagram. Sophie is an ultra runner, a yoga instructor. She has a dual master's degree in in exercise physiology and nutritional science. She recently raced the Pacific Crest 50 miler. This was her first 50 miler and she won it. She got first place. Today we're going to talk about yoga and ultra running and trail running. So pretty much how you can use yoga and how Sophie has used yoga in her practice, how she, her journey through that and also her journey through trail running. So that's pretty much what we're going to be talking about today. If you are listening to in the live, make sure you write some of your questions down in the comment box. And if you're listening to the podcast, again, thank you for your support. Without further ado, let's bring Sophie on. Hey, Sophie. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Of course. Thanks for inviting me. What an honor.
Yeah, no, congratulations for winning the Pacific Crest Trail 50 miler. I'm sure that it was hot. It was a hot race.
Huh? It was very hot. It was very hot. And what a battle. Yeah, that was wild and very unexpected. So yeah, thank you very much for inviting me. I love what you're doing here, having, you know, women, females, runners on here to kind of create that community. You know, we need more focus on us women doing crazy things, you know?
Yes, definitely, especially in the ultra running space, where it's a male dominated sport, and I feel like this is a sport where a lot of females can thrive. As there's been, they're seeing that the longer the distance, the gap between the males and the females, it starts to close up. So there's a lot of potential. There's a lot of potential of what women can do in the sport. So thank you for being part of this. Sophie, tell us, you're a yoga instructor. You've been teaching yoga. For how long have you been teaching yoga?
Oh gosh, let me see. I think since 2015, 2016, around then. I guess so I started as a fitness instructor probably in my early 20s, so around 15 years ago. I've taught anything from spin, weightlifting, bar, dance fitness, anything you can think of in the fitness world. And yoga kept being kind of like something I would do on my own, like my own practice, right? But eventually I was like, why am I doing all these things and not sharing this one thing that I do the most? So I decided to take my yoga teacher training back in 2015, and have taught ever since. Then for a couple of years, I taught a lot of yoga teacher trainings. So both for 200 hours and 300 hour yoga teacher trainings. But recently kind of got into a full-time job at Kaiser Permanente. So a little less of that, but definitely still some teaching in there.
Do you still do the other, like the spin class and the other instructing, or just right now just the yoga for the little bit that you do?
Yeah, not as much as I used to, for sure. It used to be more of like my full-time gig. Now it's more more my hobby, teaching, right? So but definitely try whenever I can. Gosh, yeah, spin and weightlift, it all kind of changed with COVID, you know. I was always on the go. Before COVID, I would teach so many fitness classes, teach my yoga teacher training, teach weight loss program for Kaiser. And then COVID hit and I was like, wow, what's happening now? I was like working these long hours and being all over the place. And I guess COVID kind of gave me an opportunity to tune in on myself and be like, what is it that I want to do? And instead of having 20 different jobs, kind of scale back and have a little bit more time available to myself. And then it became running. Yeah.
How did you get into trail running? I noticed that you just started running ultras like last year, right? You ran your first 50K last year, and then
Yeah.
you jumped to a 50 miler this year. So tell us, how did
Yeah.
you get into trail running and then ultra running? What made you sign up for that first 50K?
Yeah, so excuse me. I think running has been kind of on the sideline for me as kind of like recreational exercise, you know, for as long as I can remember, you know. I did it every once in a while. I would sign up for a half marathon, and if I wasn't doing spin, I would, you know, get my cardio in by running, but never anything like major. But then I think it was back in 19, me and my boyfriend, we ended up going to this run club. It's called Milestone. It's here in San Diego, and it's just like such a fun community, and I got super into the running. They do, but once a month they would do like a trail run somewhere out in the mountains east of here, and I really enjoyed that. And then when COVID happened, you know, as I was scaling back from all the fitness, I had the opportunity to run a little bit more. We didn't have much else to do, so me and my boyfriend would just run all the time. And after, you know, all of a sudden doing weekend runs that was like easy, like 17 miles, I was like, what am I doing with all these miles? Maybe I should try and sign up for something and be a little more organized about it. So I turned 35 last year in June. So I was like, I'm going to give myself the birthday gift of running an ultra marathon. So the day after I turned 35 was when I did my first 50K. Went okay. It was surprisingly hot and exposed, and was kind of struggling for a little bit. But you know how you forget about the pain after a month or so, and you're like, oh, that was fun. Let's try it again. So I signed up for another one in November, another 50K, and happened to do really well at that one too. Actually took the first place for female as well. And then a couple of weeks after that, I had a trail marathon, and surprisingly also took back the first female on that one. So I was like, this is going pretty well. So maybe I should try and go a little longer. So this year I signed up for the PCT 50. And just did that a week and a half ago.
Are you been surprised that you're doing really well in these races? Are you just kind of caught, did it catch you off guard? Are you kind of surprised, or are you, just because you've been athletic the whole time, it's kind of like, oh, okay, like I'm kind of used to being successful in different sports that I try.
Yeah, I guess I was very surprised. I don't know, you know, the trail running races are not as big as, like, you know, the big rock and roll marathons or something like that. So obviously your chances do get a little bit better with less people, but I wasn't surprised I was gonna thrive at it and love it, but I was definitely surprised I took home a couple of wins. So that definitely makes it a lot, not a lot more interesting. I'm sure I would do it anyway. But it definitely adds another competitive level to it that surprised me for sure.
Do you feel that yoga, your yoga practice, how much do current as a pra person, you know, as a student, how much yoga do you practice kind of in your day-to-day basis?
Yeah, that was actually a fun transition I kind of had to do when I got my new job at Kaiser. So I work for a department at Kaiser that does weight loss. So I was an educator before teaching some of these weight loss classes, and not too long ago I got promoted into a supervising position. So now I'm at a desk all day. You know, I've been so used to doing physical activity as my job for over a decade, and now I'm much more stationary. I have had to learn to, you know, fit it all in and figure out how do I get yoga into my everyday life, outside of teaching. How do I and fit that in with the running as well? I will say I have a pretty regular yoga practice that is not very, very long. Like I'll do like 15 minutes of yoga in the morning. That includes like just some easy sun salutations to keep myself mobile. And then do a meditation after that, some breathing exercises. But then, I'll try at least to do like a full class a week, to stay with that. But I also do think that yoga is so much more than just, being on your mat and doing the physical movements and stuff. I think we got to remember that yoga is also the whole mental aspect of it, right? It's mindfulness and how you go about living your life, how you are with other people, how you listen to your body signals. There's so much more to it than just, doing physical activity. So I think, I practice yoga all the time, but the physical part of it, being on my mat, is not as much as I used to. But as long, I feel like as long as I can be regular with it, it doesn't have to be a really long session each time.
Do you feel like it's underrated for many people of that 10, 15 minute daily practice of something like yoga or running or strength training rather than an on or nothing mentality where, like, well, I can't get an hour in or I can't get a full session in their sense of full meaning, like a full an hour long practice of something. So they'd rather not do anything. Do you feel like it's really underrated of how the benefits of 10 to 15 minutes of daily something can really benefit people?
Yeah, for sure. I think, most Americans are super busy and don't have time. I can only imagine how it is if you have a family on top of having a full-time job and having a little bit of time to yourself. So it is super underrated. A little bit of something every day, as long as you can stay consistent with it, has so much more of an impact than being all in for like a month and then not doing anything for 3 months because it was so overwhelming. It is shown that like consistency for health, it doesn't matter those days where you skip some things. It's okay as long as the majority of the time you're incorporating healthy habits, right? And healthy habits is getting out of your chair every once in a while and taking that walk in the middle of the day, even though it can just be 10 minutes, or doing a little bit of yoga 10 minutes in the morning, or whatever it is that you can do. That regularity is much more important than spending an hour at the gym for sure.
What advice do you give to someone who's just struggling to find those 10 to 15 minutes in their day to day? We all have, there's that saying, we all have the same 24 hours, but what advice do you give to that person who's really struggling to just make it work for themselves? What has helped you, and what have you seen your students or clients worked?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things to it. I think first of all, you got to create some kind of habit to yourself. So that starts with planning, right? So you got to kind of think, look at your calendar in a day and see where is it realistic for you to put in this time, right? And think about it not as like, oh, today I'm going to do it at this time, and then tomorrow I'm going to do it in the evening instead of in the morning. But try and find a place where you can be really consistent with this. And then to create a habit, actually, first of all, having some kind of trigger that reminds you to do something. So it's not necessarily the routine of you doing something for 10 minutes that is your habit. The habit is you initiating the behavior, right? So let's say I wanted to do 10 minutes of meditation every morning, right? I might not start with 10 minutes. I want to make it so easy for myself that I don't every morning start arguing myself out of it. And I'm like, oh, I would rather sleep these extra 10 minutes, right? So I start with when my alarm goes off. So my alarm is kind of my trigger to do something, right? So I connect it to something that I'm already doing. When my alarm goes off, I can even stay in bed and I can do 1 minute of meditation, right? And I don't even have to wake up earlier really to do 1 minute of something, right? But as soon as that becomes like something I don't really think about anymore, but when I wake up in the morning, I immediately start doing this thing. And then I add on to that, right? Then I add on, okay, I'm gonna try 2 minutes, then I'm gonna try 5 minutes, and then so on, right? So the same thing with anything that you wanna incorporate into your life on a regular basis. Start really, really small, so it's not like a big effort and you don't start arguing yourself out of it and you're like, oh, I would rather lie here on the couch, really, right? And then when it's a routine, that's when you start building onto it. So first, planning, make it really realistic. Where am I going to put it in my day? And then create that regularity, starting small and then micro steps building up to what it is that you want to achieve.
What benefits have you found from having a routine? And I know you mentioned that you practice meditation as well on a daily basis, even if it's a short session. What are some of the benefits you've seen for yourself?
Oh gosh, actually bringing that back to ultra running, I think you did, how much throughout our day, how many times do we forget what we're doing, right? We can like be in the shower and wash our hair, and then 5 seconds after, we forgot that we washed our hair because we're already in our mind, we have started our day, right? And we kind of start forgetting about enjoying every single moment, right? So there's first of all that, like, okay, let's learn to enjoy where we're at right here, right now. And that practice of meditation can teach us that so we can take it out in our everyday life, right? Then secondly, we all go through things that are hard sometimes, right? And a mindfulness practice can teach us to withstand things that might be a little bit uncomfortable, right? So being able to be still for extended period of time can teach us to, even though we might start thinking about something else, to continuously come back to where we are, teaches us to, stay with something, even though we're like, oh, I should really like get started with my day right now, right? And then we can bring that into ultra running, right? That, oh my God, my legs are in pain right now. I really want to stop. But now I've started to teach myself, okay, how can I turn this situation? How can I be mindful of what's going on? Listen to my body, listen to my mind. What do I need right now? How can I listen to sensations without necessarily judging them or giving them a value? So when my legs are in pain, then think about it as like, well, it's not. It's just a sensation, right? And everything will pass like everything else. So it's a temporary sensation you're having instead of, connecting it with pain, and then your mind starts spiraling to like, I want to give up, right? So that little, I think that should be a part of any ultra runner's practice, some mindfulness.
It seems like you've been training to be an ultra runner for all these years, even without even realizing it, because you've been focusing on, you were strengthening your body, but really strengthening your mind and your perspective, because you're not, when your leg is hurting or something comes up, or, and give us an example. Is there in either in your 50K or 50 miler, was there a moment where you were like, they call it the pain cave, when you get into that point of you're like, why am I here? That you caught yourself using mindfulness practice and getting yourself out of it. Is there an example you can give us of one of your races?
Yeah, it's kind of funny actually. So, for the last 13 miles of the PCT 50, I had my boyfriend pace me, and at that time it got really hot, it was very exposed, my stomach was kind of not having food anymore, and legs are in pain because you've been running for so long. And I remember kind of saying to my boyfriend something like, oh my God, my legs are hurting right now. The funny thing was that he's not really into yoga that much and mindfulness and stuff. But the funny thing was, he was like, hey, Sophie, it's just sensations. And I was like, oh yeah, that's right. Thank you for reminding me of my mindfulness practice. And he kind of flipped the script for me a little bit. I thought that was really funny that sometimes, a reminder from outside is just as good as the, I can have practiced this for years and it doesn't mean it's perfect. But as soon as he said that, I was like, that's right. And then I kind of turned myself back into it.
Did you feel like since you changed your mindset of the perspective, the eventually the you didn't feel the pain or you didn't feel the discomfort as much as you were feeding into it originally until, isn't that crazy? Like, If you feed the monster, it's just gonna grow bigger and bigger. So it's better to kind of just step away from it.
Exactly. So it was more like, now it turned into just being something that was there. It's a sensation. It's in the background. I have to focus on something else that is moving one foot in front of the other. This sensation is going to be background noise and just kind of be hanging out with me for the rest of the time. But I got to focus on putting one foot in front of the other, and I got to focus on getting some food in me. I got to take care of other things right now. So yeah, totally. It flips the script, and then you get that little extra boost to take care of all the other things that are going on, right?
And then later on, you have a different problem. You have your stomach is starting to like you forget about your leg. It's like it's your stomach or then your hip or your back. Like it's funny how I found it funny how pain always travels among the bodies. It doesn't really last in one specific place.
It's really funny. I was thinking about that throughout the race. I was like, oh, now my knees are kind of like a little weak. And then all of a sudden I would be like, oh, wait a minute. Now my knees are not so bad anymore. Now I feel it in my right hip. And then that kind of dissipate and just kind of like constantly a flow of like different sensations that comes and goes. It's really interesting.
There is a question here. Core strength suggestions to help with exercise. So, any core strength exercise that you suggest for people to do?
Yeah, for sure. I think with core strength, it really depends on what your purpose is with core strength, right? We can train our core to get nice abs, and that would be, more like crunches and stuff that develops that like mid part, right? But if you think about the purpose of like, okay, I want to be a good runner and I want to use core strength in running, you want to think more about things that stabilize this, right? So how do I stabilize my trunk to be upright for an extended period of time while my other limbs are doing stuff, right? So basically the core is there to, support your spine. We have our spine and the muscles around the trunk is there to hold that part upright, right? So so really for ultra running and for running, I would say things like planks, where you, for example, are holding a plank and then moving an arm or moving a leg, right? So thinking about, okay, when I am running, I am trying to stabilize this part. I'm not necessarily trying to crunch, right? So you want to try and make your movement as similar to what your event is, right? And then for running, it's like I hold this part and then I do all these other things with my arms and legs, right? So planks where you move your legs and arms, even things where you are, on your back and holding your core in and then lowering your legs and your arms, things like that, much more useful than, building the crunches. And then I would even say if you're kind of in a time crunch for doing strength training, I wouldn't necessarily focus on doing too much time on the core because your core is involved in so many other exercises you do. Like if I do a lunge with an overhead press with a weight in my hand, my core already has a lot of work to do. If I do a squat, my core is so involved already. So if you're kind of trying to fit in strength training, I would rather focus on those bigger movements, because the core is always involved in whatever you're doing. And then if you have extra time, sure, then, spend them on doing some planks and some leg lowers and stuff like that.
So what are some full body ex I know you mentioned some like the lunges and but like in squats, but what are some other full body, because these are full body motion ranges that we can do. So it differs, right, from like a bodybuilder where you focus on biceps and back and then another day chest and triceps because you're really trying to grow those muscles, whereas a runner, the strength program is going to look different and it's about
Yeah.
being more efficient rather than the quant quantity, not the quality. So it's quality over quantity. What are
Yeah.
some full body ex other full body exercise that you would recommend?
Yeah, for sure. I think sometimes we try and make things so complicated when we go into strength training. I'm a big advocate for keeping things super simple. Let's go back to the basics. There's a reason why these exercises are the basic, because they are the most important ones in pretty much everything that you do. But I would say things like a regular squat, first of all. You should always do regular squat, preferably like fairly heavy squats. And especially as you start building strength, then when you get closer to an event, you can start decreasing the weight and increasing repetition and stuff. But like try and get like a really strong foundation. So pretty heavy on the squats. Lunges for sure. Anything where you in your lunge where you can add, movements with your arms as well, to challenge that core, because you're going to do a lot of balance, right? Other things for runners, I would say one-legged exercises. So for example, a one-legged deadlift, great for, first of all, balance, stabilizes your ankles, stabilizes your gluteus medius, the glute that kind of sits out on the outer side of your hip. You use that a lot when you're running, right? So one-legged stuff, one-legged deadlifts. I think those, I would probably, that could be super simple. You could do one-legged squats as well. Maybe with a little bit of support, like a TRX or something, holding in your hands, and then do one-legged squats. Super great exercise as well. Step ups, you could do, if you have a chair, stand sideways to the chair and then kind of lift yourself that one leg up and then lower it super slow again down. A little bit of eccentric power on that one. So those are just some basic ones that I would recommend. I don't necessarily go crazy and advanced with the things. I think is like more simple is sometimes the best.
Yeah, thank you. Because sometimes when we add too much into our plate, we get overwhelmed and then we get discouraged. And then it's just the more simple we can keep things, the more likely we are to do it. So let's talk a little bit more about ultra running. You've been doing ultra, you started ultra, you ran your first ultra last year, you did your 50 miler. What is it? Why do you feel that you run ultras? What do you think keeps having you coming back for more?
Yeah, I think for me it started with adventure. Like when I first started joining this running group, I was talking about it's just an amazing group of people. Sometimes I think about it, wow, my friends are so adventurous, right? You can like throw out a group text on a Wednesday night and be like, does anybody want to go camping and run this weekend on the mountains? And like 10 people be like, yeah, sure, let's go. So I feel really fortunate to have friends that are just spontaneously fun like that. So I think the adventure part in it, first of all, for me, was what really got me excited about it. Second of all, community. It's just such a fun way of socializing. I get to be with my friends, but we do things that are wild and physically challenging while we are in nature. That is just a big part of my why, the community. And then as you can probably hear, I've always loved challenging my body. Like I've always been athletic. When I was a teenager, I was a swimmer, and did pretty well with that as well. And it's just been building throughout my life that I really do enjoy challenging my body physically and seeing what I can achieve. I will say I'm not necessarily like a fast runner, to be honest. Like if you get me on road in some more reasonable distances, if you get me on road for like a six miler or even a half marathon, I'm kind of like the middle of the pack type of person. I'm not terribly slow either, but I'm not like one of the ones you would consider like a super fast runner. But I think what I have is like some grit. I like the persistent, I like the mental challenge in it. And probably as you said, yoga has kind of been a part of training me for this journey. Challenging myself that way meant that it's not just a challenge of how great can I do my fitness, right? How much can I train myself to get physically fit to do this? That's a big part of it, obviously. But also, how can I strategize? How can I train myself mentally? What do I do to troubleshoot when things don't go the way that I wanted them to go, right? There's so much more to it. And then getting out and seeing all these cool places on your feet. Recently, I ran the Grand Canyon. We did a rim to waterfall to rim. So it was like a 30 miles, and I was down there and I was like, wow, this is not everybody who gets the chance to just go on your feet and run down these trails and go and see these amazing wonders of like what's down here. Not everybody gets to see this. I felt so fortunate and so adventurous being down there. So that's a big part of why I do it, the adventure.
And it was all in one day, and that's when ultra running becomes more exciting. We're like, I don't have to backpack 3, 4 days and carry all my stuff. I can do this in one day, and I move quicker. So and there's pros and cons, backpacking. People enjoy more steady pace, but then there's also that option of going faster, lighter weight, but you're doing more effort. So there's no easy way. It just depends who you talk to. I personally think backpacking is harder, but a backpacker would say that ultra running is harder.
Right.
So who knows? So you talked about grit. I want to talk a little bit more about that. You said, how, what about yoga do you feel that has helped you really like get more grit and helping you?
Yeah, I think yoga, well, first of all, yoga helps us stay mobile, limber, strong. To prevent us from get injuries, right? It's not necessarily something I would supplement with like your strength training, but it definitely adds, some elements of stability and strength that definitely supports your body in a way that you're a little less prone to getting injured, right? So definitely yoga helps me physically with that. Second of all, as we already talked about, the mental grit of meditation, not only in meditation, but also, if you do a more slow practice of yoga, like a yin yoga where you're lying in a stretch for like 5 minutes, where you might feel like, ooh, this stretch is like kind of tough, right? Or even being in like a standing position that is physically challenging and you have to stay there for a while. That represents a lot of what we're doing in ultra running, right? Being able to breathe your way through it. And stay, everything has an end to it, but you have to endure it while you're there, right? So, and then breathing techniques. I'm a big advocate for breathing. I use that a lot when I'm running. Actually, I count my breath. When I'm running, I'm doing like 3 to 4 steps of breathing in, 3 to 4 steps of breathing out. And that tells me a lot about my effort. So I can be like, okay, if I can't follow this rhythm anymore, then it might mean that if I'm starting to go down to 2 steps, breathe in 2 steps or even less, that might tell me that I'm going a little bit too fast. I'm going a little bit too hard. Let's scale it back a little bit and save myself, right? So I can learn about myself through my breath, but I can also use my breath to control my level of exertion, both mentally but also physically, and you can use it as a moving meditation. So when you're running for a really long time and you're just getting in the rhythm with your breath and your movement, and you're just feeling like everything is like one, right? So I think, well, the physical practice of being able to withstand things that are slightly uncomfortable for an extended period of time. The mobility and strength that you gain from yoga helps you getting less injured. The mental grit of doing meditation, and then the breathing exercise that can help you stay and learn about yourself while you're in movement when you're running.
If someone, or maybe do you have any resources, or do you know of any resources or tools that if someone is interested in learning more about breathing techniques that they can go to, they can learn more? Is there any resources that you have or that you know of?
Yeah, for sure. Actually, you can get a lot of, there's a lot of really great apps, which was probably what I would recommend using first. An easy thing, I use it like a paced breathing app. You can even find a YouTube video if you just search like paced breathing on YouTube. There will be videos that that has the prompts for you to do a breathing exercise, right? And it paced breathing just means that you're breathing in at a certain count and then you're breathing out at the similar count. So you have an equal inhale and exhale. That's what we call paced breathing. I think that's what I would start with for anybody. That's a pretty simple technique that you can use, very useful when you're running, for example. Other types of exercises that are really easy and accessible for you is if you are finding that your anxiety or arousal is increasing a lot. Like even when you're exercising and you find that you get like things are getting a little extra hot, extended exhalations can be really helpful. So, you'll just breathe in whatever way you like, and then you can breathe out through your mouth and nose, but trying to make that exhalation longer than your inhale, because exhalation is the relaxation part of a breath, like the where you're not ac active in a breath. The inhale is an active part of breathing. And actually, now I'm going super into detail. Please
No,
stop me
this
if
is
I'm going.
great. This is great. Please do. I'm sure people are, I'm finding this fascinating. I love learning from others.
So when you're breathing in and out, your heart rate is actually following your inhales and exhales. So when you're breathing in, you actually have a slight increase in heart rate, and when you breathe out, you have a slight decrease in heart rate. And this is called heart rate variability. And the more fit and the less mentally stressed you are, the better your heart is at following this flow. So by doing paced breathing, you can actually kind of teach your heart to start following this better if you have kind of gotten out of that rhythm, right? So since your heart rate is increasing on your inhale, that means you're active, you're turning on your sympathetic nervous system, which is kind of your fight and flight system, right? Your arousal. So you're increasing arousal a little bit. And then on the other hand, when you breathe out, that's your where you turn on the parasympathetic, which is your rest, release, relax, part of your nervous system, right? So if you breathe in and then extend the exhalation, you are promoting your body to find more relaxation, right? Because you're emphasizing that part of your breath. So you can use that in running. You can also do it if you're just in a stressful situation, if you're a little nervous about going into a meeting or a conversation, and you're kind of finding that your heart rate is increasing a little bit and you feel the nerves, you can use this type of breath to calm your nerves a little bit. So I would say, first of all, paced breathing, super easy. Second of all, the extended exhalation. If you find that your arousal is increasing, maybe race nerves, right? A little bit before a race, take a couple of minutes to breathe in on maybe a 4 count and then out on an 8 count, and do that a couple of rounds to kind of get your nerves down before a race or doing the race when you're feeling like you're having a hard time doing the race. So
Thank
those are
you.
two simple things I would
Yeah,
suggest.
thank you so much. I always found when I focus my running and I'm like I bring my awareness back to my breath, I get more in that runner's high quicker, kind of like in this place where I'm running and then miles go by and I look at my watch and I'm like, 5 miles just passed. How did that happen? So it's interesting to hear it more of like why that's happening, and it's yeah, that's pretty amazing. So thank you so much for
Yeah,
sharing that, Sophie.
for sure.
I want to go to talk about the PCT 50 miler. So my boyfriend was running it. It was his first 50 miler. So I didn't, I
Nice.
just spectated.
Congrats to
So
him.
yeah. Yeah, I'm very proud of him. So I was out there seeing kind of as a spectator. I didn't run it or I didn't pace anything, but take us from the beginning. Like, how was your PCT 50 miler? Like, did you start off just strong front of the pack the whole way? Did you move forward as the day progressed? Like, share with us a little bit how that journey went for you.
Oh my God, it was actually a super exciting race. I as I was saying, I think I have a pretty good, I have now, even though I don't have that much experience, but I have now learned that, the race doesn't really start until later on. And also because it was my first 50 mile, I didn't necessarily join the race with like, oh my God, I'm just gonna crush it and beat everybody. I was pretty humble moving into it. So I pretty much went with feel to get to off the get-go. This race does start with like a pretty significant hill. Pretty much a couple miles in, you're going up like 3,000 feet, I think, maybe more, maybe almost 4,000 in the first like 13 miles. So the majority of the gain is like done pretty early on in the race. So I'm a fairly good uphill runner. Like I'm not super fast to run up, but I'll get in kind of like that grind mode of just slow steps up the hills. And I pretty much ran that whole thing. It was kind of funny. I had like a whole line. I think some people really liked my pace, and I had like 10 people behind me, and I was just, in the grind getting up the hill. And I like looked back, and there's 10 people. I was like, does anybody want to pass me or something? It's a single track trail. And I kept asking, do you guys want to get by? And I'm like, no, you're doing great. So I think I just had this like a whole group that was just enjoying my pace. So that lasted maybe for, 10 miles or so. We were just kind of getting in the groove. I also tend to run with a lot of my stuff on me. Like I have a pretty solid Salomon pack that has room for so much things. So I prefer kind of having a lot of water on me, a lot of my own nutrition, so I don't necessarily have to stop at aid stations if I have to. But in the beginning of the race, I think I could kind of calculate that I may have been like third or fourth female for a while. And throughout the first half, I started at the aid stations. I started to kind of quickly get a glance on the girl who was second. She was really putting in some hard work. I saw her at some point. She had dirt down her face. She had face planted, and she was just continuing the grind. And I kind of knew which girl was number one because she had passed me in the beginning, and I was like, oh yeah, she's way ahead. So then on the return, right before the aid station, so again, I wasn't like necessarily trying to get to that point. I was just, okay, I'm just gonna do my own race, stay with yourself, do whatever feels right to you. Then before I get to the aid station where there was 13 miles left, I had just then passed the girl that I thought was in second. We were like right next to each other pretty much. I just like kind of run by her there. I get into the aid station where I'm meeting my boyfriend, and everybody's like, you're in first. And I was like, how's that possible? There was that other girl in front of me. So I guess she dropped. So I was like, oh, okay, that's fun. Again, not too much expectations because I knew the other girl was like right behind me. And then we start running down that hill from the beginning, which is kind of technical terrain, even though it's downhill. So, and it got really exposed. I got really hot. My stomach was not super happy. Luckily, I had my boyfriend. He was really kind of encouraging at the right point, but also times where I was just like, no, I'm no talking, just gotta focus, And then right before we get to the last aid station, which is 6 miles from the finish, another girl that I had not even seen this whole race, she just blasts by me. And I was like, wow, okay, kudo to her. Like if she deserves this win, if she can like just create that energy and fly down this hill, I'll give her that win for sure. And we get down to the aid station, so she had come in, I come in after. And now the girl that I just passed, she comes in right after. So we are the three of us are at the aid station, the last aid station with 6 miles left. So the first girl, she takes off. I was still kind of, getting some more water and stuff. Then I take off a little bit after, and obviously I don't know how long after the last girl she left. But now the trail got a little easier, a little more runnable. It was still downhill, but it was not as technical. So I was like, okay, game's on. And
Ha
And I just started like crashing down this hill with my boyfriend right behind me, kind of encouraging me to keep pushing. So after 2 miles, I finally caught this girl. And then my boyfriend was running behind me and kept checking on her, like how far away she was from me to kind of let me know how fast I had to run. This also being super hot, and I was done, right? So I get that, and he kept looking. He was like, "You're fine, you know, you're good. Just keep moving because she's not that far, but you're solid, you know." And I get to the finish line. I come in first. A minute after me, the girl that I thought was gonna come in third, she comes right after me, like a minute after. And then 2 minutes after her, the third girl came in. So it was like a super exciting race right till the finish line, which is crazy for a 50-miler being so close to each other. That was wild.
Wow. And
Good story.
was that your first experience, like, compare? I'm not sure how the other 50Ks, or the 50K that you won. Is this the first time you got that feeling of race? You were actually racing, right? It was a whole different game. If your foot was hurting, I'm sure you forgot that your foot was hurting.
So I think when I did Mount Laguna Marathon back in November, and it was a little bit similar. There had been like one girl in front of me the whole time, and at the halfway point, the 13 miles, I caught her because she stopped at an aid station and I already had all my stuff on me, so I didn't stop. So I just kept going. So I kept thinking she was right behind me. So I was definitely, trying to sustain where I was. So a little bit of the same feeling. She was still pretty close to me. I think there was like 5 minutes behind me or something. So, kind of a close call too. Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
It's more than like that 1 minute of like you could have gotten second place by 1 minute. That could have been a restroom break. That could have been, you know, something falling off your pack and you picking it up, or you falling, you know, like it's 1 minute. It could be anything, right? And you're just like, oh my God, what if I had really have to go pee and then I can't get off the trail
Right.
because I have someone chasing me.
That
So I
was
was
like
out.
super exciting, cool, with a very strong female field, I think. So I think I was in overall fourth, and then the two girls were right after me. So super strong women's group in that race. It was pretty impressive.
And it was hot. It was really hot. I was out there and I was like actually really happy that I wasn't pacing my boyfriend because I was like, yeah, I don't know if I want to run this. It got up to, when I saw my car, it said 95 degrees. So it said that it was up to 90, and there's no shade on the PCT.
No.
How did you train for the heat? Is there anything that you did to train for the heat? I know you talked about some stomach issues. What did you do to kind of navigate through those stomach issues that you were having due to the heat?
Yeah, I actually, to be honest, I wish I had done a little bit more of heat training. So I do live in San Diego, so obviously it's often that we get hot weather, but actually this spring has been fairly chill. And because it's been kind of chill, I was like, hey, you know, it's May. It's probably not going to be that hot of a race. So I kind of had that thought about it. So honestly, I didn't do as much heat training as I would do. But one thing I do is that I just try not to avoid, the daytime running, because in San Diego, sometimes if you don't get out in the morning, you're gonna hit heat for sure, either way, right? So I just try to not always plan my runs around like when is it gonna get hot. So not necessarily always have to be on the trail by 6 a.m. to avoid the heat, but be like, okay, I'm just gonna go whenever I would normally go, like 7, 8 o'clock. And yes, it's gonna be really hot by 9 or 10. And even if I have to do like an afternoon run, let's not wait until after sunset. Let's just do it right when I come home from work, even though it's blazing hot. So that's like my, but what I do, because I'm fortunate enough to have hot weather here. But yes, I due to the spring was just kind of chill. It wasn't too hot. I could have done better in finding ways to train more heat for sure. Really thought I had like my nutrition strategy down, and that's kind of the fun part about it too, is like you think you have your strategy. I had my little roasted potatoes with me and my quesadilla and stuff, kind of excited to get to the point where I was going to eat my lunch, but I just couldn't. So hooray for Tailwind and Coca-Cola to get me through it.
Yeah, I think Tailwind saved a lot of people. It saved my boyfriend too. And it was kind of one of those things we were experimenting. And I'm like, you're going to need liquid calories. I recommend people to find a liquid calorie. There's Carbo Pearl, there's Scratch Labs has it, Tailwind. Find a liquid calorie that works for you. And just have, it's good to have a liquid calorie that you can, rely on. You can, real foods, you have the goos and gels. But yeah, liquid calories is definitely, everyone needs to have a liquid calorie just in case. You don't have to drink, you don't have to take it the whole time you don't want to, but just in case, because we need those calories to keep moving forward in the race. What was the highlight, what do you feel, of the 50 miler, the PCT for you?
I think honestly, the first half of it, I was really having a great time. I was not really struggling. I was kind of enjoying my, slow uphill run. So the race kind of goes a lot of up, then it goes kind of down, and then it goes up again, and then it goes a lot down to finish. So going up that hill, I was like having the time of my life. I was chilling up this hill, and even when we then got to the top of that hill, like running down all the way to the turnaround, I was cruising. I was having a great time. I was like, I could do this all day long. I think that was definitely a big part of it. And then seeing some of my friends out there was super fun. I had so the Milestone Run Club that I go to, they had an aid station. That was the first and the last aid station. So that was kind of fun running by there, seeing them. And then I do really highly recommend having a pacer, because I was starting to struggle there at the last fourth of the race. And just, I was actually not expecting my boyfriend to be at that aid station. We have talked about it, but to get into that aid station, it's a little bit difficult if you that like it's just there's not crew access. It's a little difficult to get in there. So I thought I was going to see him later on, closer towards the finish. So then when I ran in there, I was like, oh my God, you're here. I need you so much. But I highly recommend having a pacer. That was, I honestly don't think I would have won if it wasn't because I had a pacer. So a big highlight of just being so destroyed and then seeing a familiar face and running together. But that was a big highlight, to be honest.
Oh yeah, that's very nice. And especially if it's your significant other who knows you best, right? Who knows you best, and you're just sharing that moment together, and it's kind of like a team now. It's not your race, but especially like instead of you having to constantly turn around and then like accidentally tripping for constantly turning around, like he took it for the team. So if he fell, it's okay. You could have just kept running, and he would have taken it for the team. So what's next for you? Are you training for something else? Do you now have that curiosity of what a 100K or 100 miler, or do you want to do another 50 mile? Do you have anything else that you've been thinking of?
Well, yes and no. I definitely want to do another ultra. I have this, well, it's not secret if I say it here, but I would love to do a race abroad. I'm from Denmark, I'm from Europe, so it's kind of close and dear to my heart to be able to race in Europe. I would love to do that. I think like a dream race would be something like the CCC. But I'm also aware it's like super hard to get in. You get your points and then you're in a lottery, and chances are not that big. So I think I want to do, as I'm still kind of like a little bit of a newbie to the ultra, I want to do some research of like what races would potentially get me to that point within not too far of a time frame. But I would probably sign up for another 50 mile or 100K, probably 100K later in the fall. I'll take a couple of months to build some strength, focus on my strength training and my yoga, and then start a training block somewhere late July, and then be ready for a race in late October or November or something like that.
I have a
That's
feeling
my time frame.
Cuyamaca might be the 100K that might be calling your name. You're familiar with the trails. It only makes sense. It's your it's your, it's the mountains behind your neighborhood. So,
Yeah, I know. There's definitely been some people who are like, you should just sign up for Cuyamaca, which is very tempting because it is like right here in my backyard, and I know those trails as you said. But I'm also maybe a little curious of like, most of my trail races I've done have been around this area. I've done like a couple of smaller ones. I did one a couple of weeks ago up in Lone Pine up by Mount Whitney. That was super cool, just like a 10 mile. But I'm also curious of like maybe trying to go somewhere else and see some trails that I haven't seen before. So if not the next one, if I do Cuyamaca, then the next one is going to have to be some kind of travel race to see something else. Adventure, you know?
And it goes back to what you originally said. The reason why you run, one of the reasons why you run, is for adventure. And there's so many races. I think what you're doing is a correct thing, not rushing into things. Sometimes it's so easy to get caught up in that high. And I'm sure as you, as an instructor, you're a professional of knowing and understanding the physiology and the science behind our body and taking time to recover. It's like you're letting your body do its thing, strengthen the things that needs to strengthen, and then take that time and then get into a training block without back to back. I'm not sure if you're aware, but one of the big mistakes a lot of runners do is they kind of back to back, and they get that overtraining syndrome, and then they get themselves out of the sport, and then they're not able to come back in it. It's mentally exhausting. It's physically exhausting, but it's very mentally exhausting. I have two more last questions. I know we ran over. One
Oh,
last
yeah, you're
question
fine.
is for yoga. What has yoga taught you?
Oh my God, it's taught me so much. So I think one of the biggest thing yoga taught me is that to calm down, to be honest, I'm like a typical what is it my boyfriend call it, the shiny object syndrome type of personality. I'll be like going in one direction and talking about one thing, and then all of a sudden I'm like over here. And so I think yoga has taught me a little bit about like, okay, let's focus on one thing at a time. Be grateful with what you have right now, right here, and not always. That's still something I'm working on getting better at, but a little bit of like not always striving, but also enjoying the now, right? So even though we might be planning and achieving, you know, I'm planning a race, cool, but let's also enjoy the journey to get to that race, right? Let's go and actually enjoy every single run that you do up to that race, because that's really why we do a race, right? Because if we didn't enjoy the training part, why are we racing, right? Nobody's telling us to do it. So enjoying the little things, calming down, mentally, and with the things that I want to do all the time. I have too many hobbies, and sometimes I just gotta accept that I can only do one thing at a time. But also staying calm in situations, I think, you know, not getting too mad about things that doesn't matter, you know, like not getting too upset with somebody cutting me off in traffic or saying something that upsets me, because it really just takes my own energy to deal with that. Trying to be, you know, the understanding of humans in general. So always, you know, if anybody says something that's upsetting to you, then understanding that their story is different than yours, and try and have a little more compassion for them, that they're different than you are, and there's a reason why they're saying what they're saying or doing what they're doing that you don't know about. So I think I find some ease in that, not always getting upset, which is a big part of what mindfulness and yoga teaches me. And then, of course, the physical parts. Like, you can't get away from that. Yoga is just a lovely practice physically as well.
The first time I tried yoga, I was like, oh, this should be easy. It's just, well, how hard can it be to just slightly move your body from one position to another? And then I was actually sore after my first yoga session. I was like, wow, this creates work balance. And then you just have to like move and you really have to stay present. And you realize we, connecting your breath to the body movement, but your monkey mind just kind of like, well, what should I do today? Or if you do it in the morning, you start thinking about your day, you start thinking, and then when you, the moment you lose the presence, that's when you lose the balance. That's when you're like, oh, I can't hold the pose anymore. So it's amazing. The yoga is a really, I mean, I used to practice more consistently. It's something I'm trying to bring back into my daily life, and it has also benefited a lot with my mental health.
And I think yoga comes, yoga can come into your training cycle as well, conveniently, right? It doesn't, when you're in max training block, you might not have a lot of time to always practice a lot of yoga. But when you have off cycles in your training season, that's where, build a lot of your strength, get really into your yoga practice. Again, the consistency of habits, right? If that's already a big part of your life, when you are in your training block, you're going to crave it a little bit more as well, and it might be a little bit easier to at least consist some of it when you're still training really hard. So it's okay that it goes in cycles, that you're not always on your yoga game, but get back into it when you have the time, and then carry on the small habits of it throughout the busy times.
And then my next question. So you told me what yoga taught you. What has ultra running taught you so far?
Oh, what has ultra running taught me? Well, obviously that I can do much more than I thought I could. Like when people were saying 50, I was like, well, 50K makes sense. People run marathons. Sure, I can do like 50K with a lot of training. You can definitely do a 50K. But doing a 50 mile, I was like, how do people do that? Because the pain that you experience at the end of a 50K, how do you keep going after that point? So definitely that the mind is so powerful. Definitely taught me that. Also taught me to get through rough times, not only in a race or in an event, but I also happened to sprain my ankle throughout my training towards the PCT 50, and I was out for 3 weeks, and how I won't say I did it the most gracefully. I was probably pretty annoyed and very sad that I couldn't train, but at the same time, it teaches you, like, okay, what do I do now? So instead of getting too upset and caught up in what can't I do, what all the things that I cannot do that upsets me in life, but what can I do? Always think about what can I do instead of what can I do. And I think, like, even in the race, right, it's like, okay, I can't eat food right now, but I can take down some tailwind, right? Always kind of troubleshooting for, like, okay, something is going bad, and how do I get over that, both in my personal life, work life, training life, racing, any situation. So really that your attitude towards things are one of the biggest components of it. And I think that's what I've learned the most, that I'm capable of doing crazy things that I didn't think I could do, and then that my mind and my attitude is everything.
That's so powerful. And if you guys listen to this later on in the podcast, I really recommend watching the replay because Sophie shared so much golden nugget and knowledge on this episode. It's amazing. Like, I've learned a lot right now. And I'm like, I'm gonna re-listen. I'm gonna make sure I re-listen to this and take more notes. I'm like taking notes here. But no, thank you so much, Sophie. I know you mentioned that you lessen the teaching of your yoga. Do you currently teach any yoga sessions? If anybody wants to do any yoga sessions with you, do you currently offer any teachings, or is there any way, if when you do, is there a way for them to reach out or get more information for that?
Yeah, so currently I don't have a regular class, but when I stop and when I have time, I'll always try and teach. So I always post it when I do happen to have a class, so please follow me on Instagram, and you always see if I do teach a class. I'm looking into a couple of ideas to get a regular class on the schedule, and obviously I'll post that whenever that happen. With my job transition, I kind of took a little bit of a break to not overwhelm myself. But I'm getting to the point where I feel solid with my work routines, and now I'm ready to take on teaching again. So definitely stay tuned on my Instagram. I promise to throw it out there when something more regular comes up. And anytime I stop, it will be on Instagram as well.
Thank you, Sophie. And if you're listening this to the podcast, her Instagram is SuperSophie86. So it's at SuperSophie, SOFIE 86 on Instagram. Make sure you check Sophie out. I'm super excited to see what next you do, and like how you're, I know that you just started and you're already crushing it, and you have something that I feel like many athletes don't have, and it's like already understanding the power of the mind. And really using that as something to help you push through. And kind of like you said, it's just having that grit and just now allowing those thoughts to hold you back. So it's really amazing to see an athlete like yourself using that in practice, because that's something usually what we learn later on in our running, and you're using it now, which is amazing, and it shows with your results of what you have done so far. So I'm excited to see how your ultra running journey unfolds. And thank you
I
so
am
much,
too.
Sophie. Yeah, thank
Thank
you.
you.
Thank
And
you
I
so
think,
much for having me.
do you have a race coming up? I feel like I heard that on a podcast.
Yeah, I'm running. I have right now signed up for Ouray, but I'm kind of recovering from Leona 100K. I'm
Ah.
still my I think we're It was I thought it was the IT band, but it looks like it might be a slight tear on the quad, but I'm recovering.
Okay.
So right
Okay.
now I've been running again. I started running last week, so I did like 25 miles, and I'm
Good.
slowly increasing my mileage. So I'm really right now I'm doing the practice of being present. I'm really taking it one week at a time.
Yeah.
I'm slowly increasing my mileage and my vert, and I'm kind of going to make the call in July with the races at the end of July and just see where I'm
Okay.
at physically. But
Yeah.
I'm actually
Exciting.
okay with it. I'm okay with it. I think I did a little too much. I did the Backbone Trail in March, and then Leona 100K in April, and then I kind of like I think that was a little too much for me.
Yeah.
But we learn. This is how we learn, right?
Yeah.
Like, okay, now I know where the limits are in my body.
Yeah, exactly. Thank
But
you so much for having me, and good luck on your race.
Thank you so much, Sophie. And if you're listening to the podcast through the podcast, thank you again for your support. If you've been enjoying the episodes, please leave a review, share the episodes with your friends. It will really mean a lot to me, and everyone who listened through the live today. Thank you again for supporting and listening through the episode. If you guys have any questions, feel free to reach out to Sophie. She's an amazing, knowledgeable person. So I'm sure she will answer your questions. She was friendly. She answered my DMs. So I was like, yes, she wants to talk. So I'm super excited. But thank you everyone who joined in. Thank you so much, Sophie. And I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.